My name is Matthew Rotondo, and I'm a PhD candidate at the U of A here, doing my PhD in English Literature. And it's really a pleasure to get to introduce Tenny, who is my friend and my teacher. And I was dreaming when I wrote this, so sue me if I go too fast. Tenny Nathanson is a poet and a critic, but he's much more than that. He's written one of the most important books in our time on Walt Whitman, called Whitman's Presence, Body, Voice, and Writing in Leaves of Grass. He's written three books of poetry, One Block Over, Erased Art, both published by Chaps Press here in Tucson, and Home on the Range by O Books. Linguistic innovation in his work is fresh, startling, and will help you unknow things. When I first started listening to Tenny read, I was alarmed and intrigued in a marvelous way by the wild flow of collage and abstract narrations. And I'd get so happily lost. Now I listen for the way he moves through the various personalities of his phrasings. Whose voices are these? His, mine. In one listen, I hear a multitude. The poet and critic Ron Silliman says, "By now, the Whitmanesque line feels far less like Whitman and far more like Nathanson." And every line, if you listen carefully, becomes a hyperlink under erasure. Within Tenny's poetry, there is the constant sense that everything is infinitely linkable, infinitely connected. Or not, perhaps it's infinitely fractured, but endearingly so. From Erased Art, quote, "Here is an equivalent stretch of sand, or an equivalent stretch of sand, to the paper of this word, fired like glass, then fired like glass and perused, wattles everywhere, with splayed mud giving it torsion in parts. Here's some sand in your glass, here's some mud in your eye. As equivalence stretches the breaking point like a list, including itself as one of its minor items. All had been well with the big engine of its dream." Unquote. You see that the words and the voices that motivate them are always moving towards and away from us, always slipping out of and into the framework of art. Tenny has also done his fair share of cushion work and has created a drifter poetics that is always grounded by that don't know mind, even though he does know the academy, the cushion, the koan. Frequently, his poetry treks through our desert place, and it always hears voices from all over and under the literary world. This drifted poetics is cozy in the movement of language and ranges wide. It puts out its Whitmanian thumb and is picked up by Kafka, by Walter Benjamin, by D.T. Suzuki, by Tucson and New York. Writing about the content in Tenny's most recent book, Home on the Range, again, Ron Silliman says, quote, "I'm reminded of Peter Yeats's great definition of content in music as aesthetic consistency. And Nathanson would be an example of the principle. It helps that he has an ear that is continually complicated by an overlay of mind. At that level, the poem is one long elaboration of the senses. Yet it's just as deeply embedded in history. It's a complex production, yet completely governed by desire and its cognates. And the intertexts feel less like sources and almost as though they were angels particular to a given section of the poem." You'll hear angels. I once heard an interview with jazz titan Thelonious Monk, who was asked about the use of silence in his work. Monk replied, quote, "Silence is the loudest thing around, but most motherfuckers can't hear it because it's moving," unquote. Tenny's poetry hears the silences, works with them, brings out what they might say in a language that doesn't ever let us get complacent. His poems attest to the movement of language, its awareness and unawareness of itself. His books create climactic zones. Quote, "Musical notes, turns whose peaks as resonances, the different vibrational predications named together, a finer level of matter, the gravitational force, there is no explanation, unquote. It's a poetry that listens and speaks the body and the newspaper and the full range of what we mean when we say Guatemala. His current project, which we will hear some of tonight, is Ghost Snow Falls Through the Void, Globalization. I encourage you to listen to the silences between the multitudes, and you may find listening a new thing altogether. Please welcome my mentor and friend, Tenny Nathanson.
Thanks, Matt. That was really flabbergasting. Probably everybody who teaches at a university deserves to have incredibly smart PhD students if they're teaching in the literature program, but you don't deserve to have one who's also a terrific and well-published poet and a fellow Buddhist, you know, so it's just, we've been very close for a long time. It's great, Matt. And Gail was talking about what a difficult year it was in some respects, and I realized she was talking about the big global picture, which is incredibly difficult. It's been a really aggravating and scary year at the university in some ways, so far as most of you are well aware of, but it's an incredible privilege to work with just incredibly wonderful writing and PhD students here. I've had so many terrific students who've gone on to do great things and whose work I really love, and Matt's one of the most wonderful of them. So thanks very much to the Poetry Center and Gail and Renee and the whole crew for inviting me to read, and it's a great privilege and a lot of fun to read with Manuel, so you're welcome to Tucson. I'm going to read from Ghost Snow Falls Through the Void, a few sections, and I'll just say a couple things about it and then try to get going. One thing to say is that I better finish the book soon. It's about 80-90% done, and happily since November 4th, some of what follows has merely historical interest. I was thinking about Shetty Moraga's wonderfully titled book, Loving in the Warriors, and so I tell you all about the project as a whole by saying that this could be called Sitting Zazen in the Bush Years, you know, so I got to kind of finish that up, right? I don't think I'll say too much. I was working on the reading today, and I sort of shuffled certain sections in and out, and I can't remember which ones are there anymore, so I don't think I'll try and talk about many of the references. I will say that some of the stuff is sort of engaged in Googling around to find out what's going on in Iraq and so on, and I've included a little bit of that. There's one long section toward the end, but I thought, you know, probably for a reading, mostly you don't want to hear things quoted from the internet, so I didn't do too much with that. And then the other thing I'll say for people who came to my POG reading last November, about half of what I'm going to read is identical to that reading, and then the other half isn't. So, you know, some of it should be fresh, I hope. So I'm going to start with something that's actually from the middle of the manuscript. And I'm going to ask Matt to come up and read it with me. It's one of the things that, again, is happily most dated. And the role Matt is going to perform has been previously played by Tim Peterson, Leslie Scalapino, and Barb Henning. So here we go. Sorry, do you have a copy or the manuscript? Okay, here we go. So you're this guy. And let me just tell you one thing. When we get here, we're going to read this together. And this is not part of it. That's my note to myself.
Where are we
starting? We're going to start up right here. It's got to go. Here we go.
What are you doing over there in the corner again?
I'm building a nation in Iraq. I call it nation building.
What is that dead fork in your hand?
Nothing again, nothing. I said I'm nation building, damn it.
Are you a roadside bombing terrorist?
No, I am the president. I'm leading one nation and building another.
Where are you leading it?
I'm leading it to the other one to build it.
And where are you leading the one you're building?
I'm leading it to the other one, that's this one, to lead it, and I will make it drink.
Are you leading it to water?
Oil.
Do they mix?
When the terrorists mix it, it explodes.
And you?
Even as it is said, as in the beginning, so in the end, world unto world, what does it profit a man to mix oil in his gas tank if his axle is evil?
Who said that?
Sad man, the eye I told you of North Korea.
What's your favorite book?
Windows on the World for Dummies.
Is it a dirty book?
What am I doing over there in the corner again?
Why don't you go ask Dick?
You little slut, aren't you glad that in America we can debate these issues freely?
Yes.
Me too. Want to join me in the corner now?
What are you doing?
Come in under the shadow of this red rock, and I will show you something.
They called me the Hyacinth Girl.
And I knew nothing, looking into the heart of light, the silence.
Where's that?
A rock, you dummy.
Hosanna. You're the rapper Ice George.
Get jiggy with it. Exeunt omnes, singing. Dada said there'll be days like this. Sodom said there'll be days like this. Sama said there'll be days like this. But I don't worry, because big enough to include the name of every drink served in every tavern in America, you bet.
Thank you, Matt.
So the last thing there was actually Whitman's ambition for American poetry. He said he wanted to write a poetry big enough to include the name of every drink served in every tavern in America. And he got really close to that. I'm trying to catch him, but I'll never get there. Bad Zen boy, fritterer, snagged and sidetracked again. I'm not saying. So I'm not watching snow fall down inside my body, dark and open to wind, right? I'm not saying alive, I'm not saying dead. Big stretches of empty space in his music, wind cupping the snow up, tossing, then letting it fall, a downdrift through the coffin he banged on. Here's the daily report. Big cottonwoods hopped up suddenly in the hot wind, the palm tree clattering, shaking loose its birds, scanning away toward the mountain like gum. The water below it clear, palm fronds adrift. Because you can look all the way through it, right down to the bottom, today's word is ersatz. There's no such thing. Flock, snow piled in drifts, blossoms slanting down to pound on the coffin like snow. No, I'm just saying. Plus, I'm liking Frost's poem about the well, and this other poem by Frost, I wrote it, Frost. These must not think on to his dark bells, wind and the frozen lake. Think of sound sleep and the evening silences, snow and lovely darkest miles. Right now, I don't like it. I like I'm not saying alive, I'm not saying dead. A gust inside the mouth for sure, and head. It's a very quiet gust through which you can listen to all the dust settle there inside your head and upper arms, apparently, which is pretty strange, but no stranger than the man in his open coffin, the poor monk smashing the lid. Or Richie, because the river done brought you home as snow, falling through the coffin, singing praises of falling snow, caught in updrafts, blowing slanted right out of the canvas, leaving ghost snow, which is not falling in that other place. I'll ask my chihuahua, and we'll get back to you on that. The chihuahua's actually a hero of the manuscript. I mean, I own one, it's not a cartoon chihuahua. Time to skip ahead now. All right. Most of these are pretty long, but there's only about three or four of them. From the middle of the manuscript. Hey, Democritus! Quiz! I'm made of fraying chainmail. If so, I'll collapse at the bottom in a glittering heap with a little viscous rebound resettling like in the Crash Dummy commercials, but shinier. I need earmuffs. Clinniman, damn it, why don't you look where you're going? Some plunging atoms are boinging like soft peas in a rubberized clog dance right next to me, coalescing into Harold Bloom thanks to the spell checker. His tie goes shooting upward past his neck like a noose in a cosmic draft. A romantic cosmic funicular, keep falling, shit, look out, bang, the chainmail goes gooey in the friction of plunged stuff. I'm silver metal bubblegum now, glommed onto Harold's face. So I'm John's octopus, I mean Harold's John's octopus. A rat comes ricocheting toward us from the right, quick IED disposal calculus. A roadside bomb explodes in the void below your feet, rushing off to the left-hand void now. I vow to save all beings, yours truly the chainmail gum. Waking to slithering and fangs, luminous noumena, I'll miss you, apostrophe, hurtles up too in the windy rage, cosmos, I greet you at the end of a great career, which nonetheless must have had a long foreground somewhere. The floating delicate light on bushes and grasses, kinetic testicles, scrotal sac, wind, thanks, Walt. You walk through the wash sand on the wind till outside Santa Fe. The creosote bush looks at you a final time, and the sand does, and the firs in the gently falling koan about snow, which is not falling in that other place, hence falling in that other place. This is how it is for me, signed the bubblegum. Something wicked this way comes, shrieking up through wind, but can this be if there's no air? But there's snow here, and in the crossdrift, rising and falling, it floats and hovers, buoyed by the air that isn't here, like real snow hopping lightly horizontal for a while. It is real snow, lighting up the void, the moonlight catches it from the top and side and the underside, tender void through which the soft rocks fall, approaching light, speed, bump. I greet you, I'm turning into Walt again, great, rock me in billowy drowse, I can repay you, coin of the realm which is breath, exhaling thoughts to the vanished air, they hover and pulse as snow. Richard Hell and the Voidoids? Nope, Willie Nelson singing Moonlight in Vermont again. Icy finger waves? I see finger waves? I don't get it. A snowdrift ripples through my face, cold wavy muscles. They pass it along into chattered air, morphed mats of light. Telephone, I don't think Democritus can be the origin of democracy. There goes the other sun in a ball turned into snow, and mossy scabs of the wormed fence and heaped stones and elder and mullein and pokeweed. The chainmail come from the stars, I mean it was them. I came from mud, falling in wind now glittering like the mine that made all this at 11:41 a.m. in sun through the ambient cloud filter again. Here's a long thing from the internet. It's kind of toward the end of the 80% of the book that's done, so. Project Rebuild Iraq 2008, the fifth international Rebuild Iraq exhibition, 5 to 8 May 2008, Amman Exhibitions Park, Amman, Jordan. Project Rebuild Iraq 2008, the fifth international Rebuild Iraq exhibition, your gateway to a reconstruction market worth more than $100 billion. Project Rebuild Iraq 2008 is going to be a high-profile event showcasing one of the most ambitious investment opportunity-laden reconstruction undertakings of your era. It's going to be the biggest, most comprehensive Iraq reconstruction event ever held. If you were a construction sector player eyeing the Iraq reconstruction market, looking for a well-timed point of entry, seeking to gain maximum exposure and brand consolidation for your projects, or simply looking for potentially rewarding business contacts, then Project Rebuild Iraq 2008 is the show for you. And if you're already active in Iraq's thriving reconstruction market, then Project Rebuild Iraq 2008 is going to immeasurably polish your profile. Project Rebuild Iraq 2008 will set a new gold standard for Middle East exhibitions, drawing on the success of past IFP group-organized Rebuild Iraq conferences. The show will be jointly organized by IFP Group, its Jordanian arm IFP Jordan, and the Riyadh Exhibitions Company. Over 25 years, they have organized more than 320 internationally accredited trade shows across the Middle East. As of 2008, Rebuild Iraq rebrands to Project Rebuild Iraq to consolidate position as the world's leading Iraq reconstruction show. Since its inception in 2004, the Rebuild Iraq exhibition has acquired a worldwide reputation as the world's preeminent Iraq reconstruction show. Over the years, other Iraq reconstruction shows with similar names have sprung up. As of next year, Rebuild Iraq is rebranded as the Project Rebuild Iraq exhibition to underscore its unique identity as the world's premier Iraq reconstruction exhibition and to clearly differentiate it from other Iraq reconstruction shows. Massive market opportunities in Iraq and Jordan at Project Rebuild Iraq 2008. Seize unique investment opportunities offered by Iraq's $100 billion reconstruction market and Jordan's development boom. Iraq's reconstruction market is worth a stunning $100 billion, making it one of the biggest anywhere in the world, and is set to expand further as yet more contracts are signed and projects drawn up. Frenzied construction activity surrounds hundreds of projects worth billions of dollars and spanning every single sector of Iraq's rebounding economy. Iraq's liberal open markets, almost entirely free of restrictions, are helping fuel construction sector activity. Meanwhile, ever more leading manufacturers and suppliers from across the globe are seizing lucrative slices of Iraq's construction market, and in doing so are helping positively forge the future of the country. Benefits from Iraq's construction sector are set to increase further. The country's revenue generation potential, bolstered by abundant oil and other resources, as well as the long-term commitment of global donors to the reconstruction effort, is enormous. It can rival all other major regional economies. In the Village Voice, they used to have Stan Max real life funnies, and it used to say all dialogue guaranteed verbatim. And you can't make that stuff up. So two more sessions. Bong indeed. Bong, bong, bong. Boing? Well, sure. Pluck your magic twanger, gamble quail. And yes, they get busy scuttling about tweezing seeds. Why not? Browning in Motion, chapter umpteenth. Everything plays stop the sounds of the distant temple bell. My hands, wrists, biceps, skull, and inner head land of a thousand dances and gradually attenuating overtones. Cactus wren, chirr, crow, caw, morning doves, whoo, they're not so obviously thuggish right now. And later inside parakeets still under their sheet, chip, chip, chee, woo, chip, chee. Moral, it loses, moral, it has never ceased to flow. Sycamore, I see you have a woodpecker in your hole, enlightened consciousness. Lock the slides near wanting to drift unobjectionably under my hand and push up. Stop shoving my wrist, I'm typing. Lies back down, licks and tooths at her right hind leg on the tile, assiduously licks front paw. My head has pretty much stopped vibrating, but my arms vibe the overtones, shoulders too. I know something else that's often a good instance of this. Swimming to or floating hippo-ish in the pool on the orange long tube spaghetti floaty, bob, bob, bob. Davening probably too, like the bloke in the black hat and gabardine coat, all night on the New York-bound Tucson plane in the tight focus of his nightlight from around Fifth Street. Now the bird calls get tiny and everything glides away from dawn toward the business of day. Variously intense, tense, funny, lascivious, slack, cherubic, or boing. Or else dawn rolls away like a stage set behind or under it, disrobing the busier backdrop, russet mantle clad, etc. Before it was, I don't know, like the immense rattle of a diffuse genius loci snake who meant no menace. Like Leslie says, the comic book is calm because anyway, everything was snake. Not the feeling David had when stepping on the dark snake in Brazil in sandals. He said it felt like a baggie containing shit, then a kind of word, then bit that round bump on the ankle bone. I don't know what it's called, like he said, an electric drill, then flopped off hard onto the dirt road and slithered off his leg, then an intensely magnified stop that temple bell reverberator, receptacle, or maybe power station. It didn't stop for days. He didn't die. But whenever it rains, his leg gets whacked by the cosmic densho cop. Ho slurs water into the mysteriously emptied spa, hard not to mean the attendant air of privilege, which is actually a whole lot more minimal than it sounds, land of 1,000 dependents. Matte green scrub up the hills toward the Sirius mountain goes washier green in the slanting down light. But the oppressors like the heft of cathedral tunes has absconded, leaving you face to face with save a ghost. Someplace on the other side, the mountain is gleaming its wash red rock face back at the sun, Catalina glintorama being the proper term. Hi, who, I guess you, okay, gentle reader, I initiate you into the diffusely bonging body, boinging into roadside rabbit, poised now, scampering stealthily into the brush. Now you're a cactus pad feeling your spines because I said so. Apparently it's allowed to be Whitmanian. It's all happening at the zoo. Intense dark green of the well-watered Lady Banksia climbing rose, devouring entire west-facing plate glass pseudo second-story window. You're blocking all my light. Good morning, and it is. Not the light to the south where a single bird heads north in a liquid hurry, picking up altitude, then sliding from view. I dedicate this morning business to the people of Iraq, and to you, whoever you are, now I take your hand that you be my poem, bong, into the general, only apparently intermittent vibration. Bzzz, says other shore, this shore for sure. Gah! All right. One more. This is kind of new. Why weren't you Tenny? I was Tenny. Oh, I would say, the two best lines from the poem were lifted from Frank O'Hara, so you get to figure out which they were. Reaction. Why weren't you Tenny? I was Tenny. Yippee, I'm glad I'm alive. I'm glad you're alive too, baby, because I wanted to fuck you. We're alive and we're dead. We think we're alive now and we'll be dead later, but that's baloney. The idiom of American Zen is the idiom of American poetry. Save a ghost in JA 48.2 Houdini type. We're swimming through the bardos, paddling around the shallow water part amid the oscillating mats of light. It's not funny. The tree over there is a ghost waving its branches. Hi, I can save them all. No, this is the tree. All them people over there, including Tenny Nathanson, associate professor of, huh? I'm autocorrect. My friend is your friend, the spell checker with that rank. Glug, glug, glug. Save a ghost doesn't want to horse around right now. So it bathes your cement head in cement and water and wind and light, drifting through now from the other stars. Swell that it's rhizomatic. My mother is a ghost. She saves ghost Tenny. A hungry ghost doesn't know it's a ghost, so it's hungry. Is that right? So you feed it its ghostness, and it morphs along the rows of oscillating current. They look a little like rotating lit-up doormats. Katsu, don't yell at the poor ghosts, please. They have it hard enough being gay and straight and ghostly. Please don't feed the ghosts. Quadrilingual sign on the French National Railway you can safely ignore. In Italian, it said it's dangerous to stick your head out the window. Ha ha. Tim ghost, Charles ghost, Barb ghost, Frank ghost. Corporate poetry pod ghost, fictive person where can any dust alight ghost, family correctly not enumerated by name all ghosts, Bobby Thompson ghost, Souvenir Ball ghost, Don DeLillo brilliant chapter ghost, J. Edgar Hoover ghost, Siri and Paul in Brooklyn ghost, John Ashbery's Vermont notebook ghost, air ghost, wind ghost, the testicles and scrotal sac ghost, yes, wind whose soft whispering genitals tickle against me ghost, scruffy Walt ghost, canny Emily ghost, Walt canny too. My beautiful doggy ghost, my live doggy and my dead doggy, Allen Ginsberg, sightless and Moloch ghost, enlightenment ghost, enlightened one falls into a well ghost, climbs back out ghost, quit that. Where do we find ourselves? Along a huge prospect overlooking the Pima County landfill, plastic bag shreds blow happily along. A huge snake slithers across the sky and the Tucson Basin shudders. No, it's the snake that shudders, no, the mind. The mind doesn't shake, but it does Mickey's monkey mind. Lumdy lumdy lie, lumdy lumdy lie I. I have no idea how to spell it. Wallowing along the oral tradition, Bardo, the grizzled spell checker lies down in total despair and dies, but not before correcting grizzled, the old fart. I don't know if I can let my ghostly dead drift slowly through my ghost body. 4 months later, why not? Yes, mud mind, all right. Frankly, I'm assuming that everything is all right and difficult. But is snow falling in that other place? Oh, I am a ghost, and where I am, the ghost snow falls and drifts at a 30-degree angle horizontally through air, which isn't there, unless I say so. Though being a ghost now, standing in ghost snow, what I say drifts down like snow that isn't there, dissolved in air that isn't there, but in you is the, huh, when all the stars are mute. Yasutani said to destruction, Yasutani as to destruction, everything is destroyed, as to know, nothing is destroyed. Which leaves you today's air, that means me, the ghost formerly known as Tenny, thump, thump, thump. Orange brick wall, very bright now, huge pinion waving energetically in the stiff breeze, maybe even agitated. Are you okay, tree? Remember, you're a ghost. Just this, this. I'll dance with all your needles brushing my face at the ghost ball. Pale washed blue behind all of it, washed by light, stumping this checker. And behind that, the Sochi screens. Eternal bric-a-brac of the spotless mind, omnipresent like big mind, which is also a ghost. A big one. Thank you.